Wednesday night we'll have service, and that service is going to end up being at the house. Of course, we'll have service here tonight. We'll have the Wednesday night service I'll actually do from our kitchen table to where we can do a Bible study. It'll make it to where you can interact with me. I'll be able to answer your questions as you might be able to email those or chat those in. It'll be a live stream as well. Well, I don't know. Jacob was giving me grief about saying that we'll get out early today, so I've only got 8 points to go through. I'm joking. Jacob was concerned with that. He thought that I might have so many points that I'd be able to preach an hour and a half. But I'm still not keeping track of time. I'm just going to preach if the Lord let me. And Philippians chapter number 4, and that's where I'd like us to start tonight. Philippians chapter number 4. If you would, take your Bibles. I believe that the Lord has a message for us. Jacob, if you would, monitor that. Make sure that it doesn't kick off. It should say at the bottom right-hand corner that it's recording. Okay. Philippians chapter number 4, if you would. I don't know if you're in the standing capability, but let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 5. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." In verse number 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. I'm thankful, Lord. I was praying with Jonathan this morning and realized that just a few years ago, none of this would have been possible. If we had some pandemic going through, we would just have to cancel service and be at home. But I'm thankful, Lord, that we've got the capability of the technology that's been given. Lord, I know that Satan's corrupted it and there's much garbage on that internet. But Lord, I'm thankful that we're still able to make contact with the church. And Lord, that it's not about being able to be some large assembly, but instead, Lord, that we can come and worship you anytime and praise you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Father, I think about just the panic that's going on, just the fear of the uncertainty of the unknown, Lord. And I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. Lord, maybe there's one of the hearers out there today that they don't know you as their personal Savior. They've made a profession, Lord. Maybe they've even came to the place and they've joined a church or they've done some other work. And Lord, they're still lost and undone in their sins. Lord, I pray that today you'd speak to their heart more than ever. Lord, I pray that you would fill me. Lord, I need a fresh anointing from on high. Father, I need you to touch me and move in my life. Lord, I need you to just give me direction, give me words, give me wisdom, Lord, to preach your message different than I've ever preached before. But Lord, I've always said that it didn't matter if it was 2 or 200, I'd preach the same. Lord, I pray you'd help me today, Lord, to keep my word, but Father, instead to proclaim yours. And Lord, I pray your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture, and this was just in my daily Bible reading this week, and the Lord began to deal with me about this passage and the fact that we can have peace. That we can have a peace that passeth all understanding. And I think about as this world is dealing with the COVID-19, I think about all the uncertainty that's taken place. In fact, I would say that it's almost an organized chaos. I think about the fear that we have. No one wants to catch it. And then we have all the questions about the work and the economy and groceries and travel and all the new laws coming and everything that's taken place. And so I look and I consider what God's doing and how this uncertainty brings a fear. And that fear brings, panic.
When we look and we think about the selfishness of others, we want to talk about how America is needed and how America is one of those countries that cares. And we think about Southern hospitality, but all of that is pushed to the side when we think about the panic and we think about the selfishness of today. No one wants it, and yet in the same sense, they want everything. Go to the grocery store and look at everyone that's hoarding everything. And so I look and I find that we can have a difference. We can have a great peace through this storm. Although you say, preacher, we don't know how long this is going to last. What if it really is 18 months? I can't imagine preaching to my computer screen or my phone for 18 months. But yet as well, I think about the fact that Paul's in prison during the penmanship of the book of Philippians. And God, through Paul's trials, is teaching them that they can have peace in all the storms of life. And may I tell you that it's very possible that God's using this storm for us to teach others that they too can have a peace that passeth all understanding. And so I find five truths in this passage of Scripture. In these five verses, there's five truths that we can find about peace and that peace that we can have. And so I just simply titled this, Peace in the Midst of Panic. I find, first of all, in verse number 5, the promotion of peace. Notice, if you would, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And so I look and I find this word moderation. We must, first of all, look at the meaning of moderation. If we were to say moderation today, it would be the word that would not be used at a buffet table. It would be the word that would... You don't think about moderation when you go to a buffet. Boy, that's usually a definition that we like to use with this idea of moderation. But moderation isn't just for not having a large amount or just using something in moderation. A little bit of salt goes a long way. But instead, in this passage of Scripture, the word actually means calm. It means that there's a calm about you or a sense of calmness. And so I look here and I find this meaning, a calmness of mind. May I tell you, it's so contrary to the panic today. Now I think about what's taking place, and last Monday I'd had to go to Statesboro. I went up to Walmart and got a few little odds and ends that we needed and some little last-minute things, and we definitely haven't been around anyone or anywhere since Monday of last week. And I was the only one to go and got into the grocery store early and got out. But yet in the same sense, I think about as I walked into Walmart, of course, there's a sign up about COVID-19. And then you go over to the toilet paper aisle and there's a sign up that says that, you know, to limit your quantities. And yet I find people pushing buggies that have four or five different packages of these toilet paper products in it. They barely had room for any groceries. I walked down the cereal aisle. Now, I don't know how you guys shop at home, but we buy Bag-O cereal. I believe it's a certain brand, a certain breed, and so with that, we have this Bag-O cereal, and this Bag-O cereal aisle, it was empty. I don't even think there was dust on that aisle. In fact, if we would normally say that, you would have heard crickets down that aisle, but I think they took them too. It was just crazy in what's happened in our country and how so many people are worried. And boy, it wouldn't matter if this lasted 18 months. If you buy three bags of cereal and you eat it in 3 months, something's wrong. And so I look and I find here that we have this spirit of fear, but yet the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7 that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And so I find here that we can have a calmness of mind. I look as well, not only do I find the meaning of moderation, but then I find that we're to have a manifestation of this moderation. The Bible tells us in verse 5, He says, be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And so we come to that passage of Scripture, that place where we can let that moderation be known. We can have others realize and have others see it. There should be a difference. We shouldn't have that panic. I think about the fact that And we love to sing the little song for the children. Let your light shine. Let my little light shine. And boy, we'll hold that up, and we want our little light to shine, and we want others to see it. And yet, I find as others see it, and then we come into this time of panic, or in the midst of panic, we kind of hide it down, and we forget that we're to let the little light shine. And this little light isn't us, but instead, this little light's the Lord, but in us. And I think about this. I was just kind of meditating on that thought and letting it known, let it be known unto all men. And I look there and I think about the fact that in the book of Isaiah, it tells us the names of Jesus. And we could go on and think about, and He's the mighty God, and He's the counselor, and yet I find as well one of His titles is the Prince of Peace. And so may I tell you that in the midst of this time, that same gospel message that we have should still be manifested today. You say, preacher, what's that? It's the fact that we have an empty church today. Well, the church isn't the gospel. But instead, the gospel means good news because you don't have to die in your sins. I think about all those that get this awful disease, and I realize that there's a lot that are having complications due to underlying illnesses. But may I tell you, there's some people that it's just the end of their time. And there's not a single person in here that knows the end of your time. And yet I find that we can have a peace as a child of God because I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I look at this and I realize that my sins have already been paid for. There's not a single person out there. I don't care if it's through YouTube, Facebook, wherever it's through. I don't care if it's sitting in the pews here. There's not a single person in here that's exempt from being a sinner. Every last one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. But then I find as well that because of that sin, I have a wage. I don't know if you're unemployed right now. I don't know if you're still working. But I'm telling you, the wages that we have and that penalty that we have, we expect to be paid for work. We should expect to receive the same penalty or the same wage for our sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6 and verse number 23 that the wages of sin is death. But I'm thankful it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know why I can have peace? You know why I can still let it shine today? Because the gospel message is still true today. And I look at this and I find my motive for moderation. In verse number 5, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I'd like you to take your Bibles real quick and turn over to the book of James, chapter number 4. In James, chapter number 4, we find a passage of Scripture here. Of course, in James, chapter number 4, we look and we see that in James 4, how short our life really is. You know, it's amazing to me how many people have made a profession, but how few people really have a possession. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt if you died right now, if COVID-19 was the way that God was taking you out, would you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to heaven and be eternally secure in Christ? And if not, why not? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I look and I find how short our life is in James chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Notice it. It says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now I rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so we look and we find about how short life really is. Go on down into chapter number 5. I want you to look at verse number 7. In James chapter number 4, look at verse, or James chapter 5, look at verse number 7. In James 5 and verse number 7, it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one another, or one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. I think about the fact that the Lord's coming. You say, preacher, what's your motivation for this moderation that we have, this calmness of mind. I think about the fact that it's the fact that the Lord's coming. And the Lord's at hand. And I know you're saying, well, that's talking about a second coming, and there's those out there right now that are talking about that, well, obviously we're entering into the tribulation. If we're entering into the tribulation, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. The rapture of the church takes place before the tribulation hour. Yeah, there's going to be some troubles. There's going to be some signs. There's going to be some things happening. But may I tell you, we're closer today than we were yesterday. And I could have said the same thing yesterday, that we're closer than the day before. But may I remind you that we're still to look to that blessed hope and His glorious appearing. Boy, I'm thankful that He's at hand. I'm thankful that this is only a short amount of time. I'm thankful that this isn't going to be forever. And so I look and I find that I can still rejoice in the fact of Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. The Bible tells us, and let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I look and I find not only do I look at our promotion of peace, but I find in verse number 6 the placement of peace. Notice, if you would, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so I look here and I find the placement of our peace. If we're going to have this peace, how are we going to have it? First of all, I look in the very first part of this verse where it says, be careful for nothing, has to deal with our cares. Our cares. Now, in this careful for nothing, this isn't the careful of I'm doing a dangerous job. I've got to make sure that everything that I do is right. I've got worries. I've got these steps that I've got to take, and everything's got to be done carefully. I've got to have the right measurements. That's not the careful. This careful is speaking about anxious or full of cares. If I could put it into a definition of my own words, I would say controlled by your cares. Controlled by your cares. May I tell you, this isn't just in time of pandemic. May I tell you that we're often controlled by our cares, but yet God says, be careful of nothing. I think about the sower over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. The Bible gives us the parable, and that's the first account that we have, of course, Matthew being the first of the gospel messages. We look and we find that parable of the sower, and that sower goes out and he sows this seed. And as he's sowing the seed, we know that some falls by the wayside, and some falls by the stony ground, and some falls by the thorns, and some falls on the good ground and the good soil. And yet we find that in these thorns, the definition that it's given us over in the book of Mark, or the account that it gives us in Mark chapter number 4, verses 18 and 19, it tells us about these in the thorns. It says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. May I tell you that unfruitful also would mean unfaithful? It's amazing how many times the cares of the world begin to choke us out. It's amazing. It doesn't take a pandemic to make people not come to church. I realize I'm preaching to an empty church today, but yet I find that it doesn't take a pandemic for people to get the cares of this world to where they don't have to be at church. It doesn't take a pandemic to make it to where you don't read your Bible. It doesn't take a pandemic to make it to where things are distracting you from your walk with the Lord. And so the Bible says, be careful for nothing. And I wonder how many times the cares choke out the peace because it chokes out the Word. And so I look in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, as he says, be careful for nothing, he gives us the solution. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so I look here and I find these requests, and I would say that this would be our casting. If the first part of this placement is our cares, and we're holding them in a basket, and how often do we go around and we pick up our cares, and we care about this, and we pick it up, and then we care about that, and we pick it up, and we care about this, and we pick it up, and before long we've got everything in our basket. Before long, we've got everything placed, and boy, we carry them around, and these are our cares, and we'll look at them. And then he says, well, don't be careful for those. Don't hold on to those. Don't have them. And so he says, instead, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And so I would look at this as our casting, and yet how many times do we let these cares consume us? Because may I tell you, as we carry these around, it's not that they're still light. No, instead they're heavy. And they begin to weigh us down, and we need to cast them off. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and yet we find that we take these cares and we hold on to them. And he says, but by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be thankful to be sick. That I don't believe that that's what God's telling us at all. And in the same sense, may I tell you that so many times there's bad things that happen or things that are inconvenient, and I'm not saying, oh Lord, thank you, I'm going through this hard time, or thank you, but instead I can be thankful for Him who's with me through them. And so I think about these cares. The Bible tells us here, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so I look and I find that in this idea of cares and caring for us, what we try to do is we've got them in our little basket. This is our care basket, if you would. No pun intended. And our care basket, we want to cast it on Him. And then after we cast it on Him, we want to pick it back up. And yet, we carry it around again. And so we get a hold of it and we cast it on Him. And then before we leave, we go ahead and pick it up. What we need to do is just go ahead and dump our care basket and leave it all on Him and not pick them back up. And then we can really have that peace. Then we can really have this placement of our cares, this placement of our peace. When we're no longer carrying around the problem, we can have peace. And so I find as well, not just the placement of our peace. I look at verse number 7, I find the promise of peace. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And you know the problem that we have? We forget about the clause for peace. Look at the very first word in verse number 7. And. Now, so often, we want to leave that off. If you were to memorize this, it's very tempting to leave off the "and," the peace. Instead, we'd want to say the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And that's where we'd leave it. But the "and" is there because it's the conjunction that ties it to verse number 6. You see, there's the clause to this. It's when we cast all of our cares upon Him, then we can have the peace. It's when we go ahead and we say that those cares are no longer my problem, that those cares, I don't want them anymore, those cares are not my burden, that now we can have that peace. And the peace that comes because we've cast it and left it. He says, and the peace of God. Do we really want that peace? Then we must realize that it only comes after verse number 6. Verse number 7 is only a promise if we'll go ahead and cast them in verse number 6. Look, if you would, we find as well in this, there's a clause for peace because we've got to cast it, but then I find the certification of our peace. Notice this, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I like that. Shall keep through Christ Jesus. Shall keep through Christ Jesus. I look and I think about this certification. Now, it's very important that we realize that God has sealed this. He says, shall keep. And so He's already promised it in His Word. He's already put it in place. And He's already said that it's on Him and that He's going to do it because it's going to be through Him. And so not only did He say it in His Word, but He sealed it with Himself. May I tell you that He still has all the grace that's sufficient to give you peace today? I don't care what's happening. I don't care how many outbreaks you have. I don't care how many you're watching in all the areas. I know John and Jacob are getting updates and they're watching America. They see some that's worldwide. They see some that's just our country. They see some that's just our state. And I'm definitely keeping an eye on things as far as our state, but we don't really know where it is. But I'm thankful that even in this time of uncertainty, when you're going back to work, when's work going to resume? When's the economy going to come back up? When are we just going to be able to come back to church? We don't know. I'm thankful that He still has
grace that's sufficient to bring peace. And so I look as well, and I find the pondering for peace. Our pondering for peace. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things, I'm sorry, verse number 8 is where I want us to stop. I look at the area we need to think is on these things. Now, I counted these up, and if I counted them right, we've got 8. We've got 8 things that are here for us to think about. May I tell you that our mind often races. It's not just in times of trouble. The hardest day of work is the day before you start vacation. Boy, you're thinking about what you're going to do. You're thinking about where you're going to go. Maybe it's you're going to go fishing. Jacob had already asked me if I wanted to go fishing next week. And he said, I just want to go fishing. I want to go fishing. I want to go fishing. Now, he's already went fishing. And so fishing's on his mind. Maybe it's hunting season. And we think about hunting. Maybe there's a sale. I know not at the stores right now, but maybe there's a sale. And we think about gas prices are lower than they've ever been. And we begin to think about things. You say, preacher, that doesn't happen to me. Try to pray. And watch how fast your mind races. Try to just stay focused on the Lord and watch how fast your mind changes. May I remind you that the media doesn't just bring this so that you can be informed. You notice in verse number 7 he said that he shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why is it so important that we think on these things? Because it's going to keep our mind where it needs to be. I look here and I find that the media doesn't care if you're informed. It also controls your mood. You want to know why the panic has went out the way that it has? You want to know why people went out and decided that they needed to go fish or that they needed to go do? Or it's amazing to me at how many people need an idea how to be a mom and dad. How do I stay home and be with my family? I don't have my kids in every event. It's amazing at how many people needed help with that. And so I find that God says that with this, to be able to stay focused, to keep your mind on these things, and he's going to keep your mind and your heart, and he's going to have this in place. And I look and I find these 8 things. Why? They're pleasant. They're pleasant. They're things to ponder that are pleasant. Now, 8 of those, I find that 8, if you're into numerology, 8 in the Bible is new beginnings. And so I look here and I think about how you can have all of that panic and all of that fear and all of that distress, but if you'll think on these things, you can have a new beginning. You can have a new direction. You can have a new mood. You can have a new joy in your heart because it's peace. And I look here at 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This word gird would, in the Bible days, they would have had a long flowing robe or a long flowing gown, and they would have needed to do something to where it wouldn't get caught. They would have girded up, and they would have pulled it up, and it would have been tight to where it didn't get caught, to where they wouldn't have things just grabbing a hold of it. Last year, Sister Sarah and I went, and we like to can tomatoes. And I don't remember how many 5-gallon buckets we had picked at the U-Pick. All I remember is the cuckleburrs that were there, the sandbriars. And we got out. Of course, Sister Sarah wears a dress, and she had got picking tomatoes. And boy, it wasn't long. She started to have them to where they wanted to come and tuck in and scratch her leg. And I was in my boots and pants, and I found that it wasn't long, and they began to figure out how to get in there. And when I would try to pull them off, of course, they'd poke your finger. And I was definitely able to go in areas that she wasn't, because she had a dress on. And so I look and I think about that girding up, and how many times do the sandbriars of life want to attach to us and our mind, and it's corrupted. And tonight, Lord willing, I want to preach on strengthening our mind. But yet I find that God's desire here is that we can have
something to think on that's not going to corrupt us, something to think on that's going to bring us peace, something to think on that's pleasant in this time that the world says there is no such thing as pleasant. Now listen, He's always the one that we're to ponder on. And the things of God and the Word of God is where we need to keep our mind. And so I look and I find there's a person of our peace. There's a person of our peace. Look at verse number 9 if you would. The Bible says, those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Did you notice that? He said, look, I'm going to give you the example. He's in prison right now. And yes, he's looking and wanting to come out. And may I tell you that I haven't met anyone in prison that doesn't want to come out. But the Apostle Paul is there, of course, not for reasons that he's broken the law. And he says that I've done these things, and you know what he's telling them? I have peace even when I don't know what's going to go on next. I have peace not because of my ability, not because of I'm sure about the surroundings around me, but instead I have peace because of the person of God. Now I look and I find here those things which ye have both heard or learned and received and heard of me and seen in me do. So you've learned them, you've received them, you've heard them, and you've seen them. You've actually, it came all around. You've heard that it happened, you've studied it out, and yes, he really was that way, and you've seen it firsthand. And then he goes on and he says, do. Here's the problem. How many times do we know what to do, and we just don't do it? We know the things we need to think on, but yet we don't do it. We know the areas where we don't go. Hey, you're here today and you're not saved. You know you need to be, and you just don't. But he says, do it. Do it. I think about James chapter 4, verse number 17. I gave it to you a moment ago. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, I remember growing up, I remember the commercial of Nike, Just Do It. Of course, they've used that slogan for years. And may I tell you, that's the way the child of God needs to be. We know what the Word of God says, so just do it. You're here today, you're lost, you're without Christ as your Savior. You've made a prayer, or you've said a prayer, and your faith is in that prayer. You've joined a church, your faith is in that church. My dear friend, there's nothing you can do but turn to Him. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just do it. And so I look, there's also a difference. There's a difference. You know what's amazing to me? Don't get me wrong. I don't want the sickness. I don't want this virus going on. I don't want my family to get it. Jacob's still at work. He's still doing things. And I don't want him to get it. But may I tell you, there's a difference in the child of God. Did you notice at the end of verse number 9 that it said the God of peace? It didn't say the peace of God. In verse number 7, it tells us the peace of God which passeth all understanding. But in verse number 9, it tells us the difference that we can have. This world will never understand it because they don't have God with them. But as a child of God, there's a difference in my life. This might be going on. There might be, I'm telling you, there may be some stress in our life. It's stressful for us this morning trying to get everything. And this is new to us. It's a new procedure. I'm definitely not where I'm normally at, just in the occurrences of today. Jonathan had asked me if I was streaming our Sunday school. I said no, I'll be doing good to get worship service done. And so I look and I think about the difference that we can have is the fact that we have God with us. Notice that. He said, the things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. There's a difference. You know, it's amazing how many people don't even believe in a God, let alone the God. And yet, as a child of God, we can have so great peace because, may I remind you that this didn't catch him off guard. We might not know what's going to take place tomorrow, but he already holds tomorrow. In fact, he's already equipping us for what we're going to need for tomorrow. He's already given us everything that we need, and he'll be with us because we have him.
And he said that the peace of God, no, he said the God of peace shall be with you. I would rather have the God of peace than just a peace of God. I'm thankful when I got saved, I have peace with God. But I'm thankful that when I got saved, I also have the God of peace. And there's a difference in my life because I don't have a fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. I know who's already got it in His hand. And I'm here with Him. And He's here with me. How about you? Maybe this has caught you off guard. Maybe this has even got you a little fearful. I don't know. I just watch and I see what's going on in our country. And it's alarming to me at how many people are panicking when there's no need. We can just continue to live for Him and the peace of God. No, the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. I thank You for the promise that You give us. Lord, not just that I can have peace that passeth all understanding, but instead I can have You, that You're going to be with me, that You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know the stress and the strain. I don't know who we're going to lose and how many is going to be affected. But I do know You're in control. And there's no need to panic when the Prince of Peace is on the throne. Lord, would You help us today to just heed Your will.